Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 5 a.m. That's Hong Kong time, and it is currently July 25th, but this is the audio for July 24th, and the market in the U.S. shut about 1 hour ago, and the highlights that were dominating the financial media today were that there were a number of PMI figures came out, and at least for Europe and for the UK, Europe is growing at its slowest pace in about 6 months. 6 months, but it is still expanding, and the UK has. I think it was described as flatlining, that the PMI is not coming out nearly as robustly as the government might wish. And those figures are also, there was IMF figures predicting that the US is going to grow at a more modest pace. And that is all very important, because we have been, and we remain, in a period of synchronized global economic expansion. And if the business purchasing is not coming in at nearly the same rate that people were expecting, well, then that is a potential outcome that could influence monetary policy. Now, that's, I think, has to be looked at in the context of a euro that has been resurgent this year. So the ECB has got to be asking the question whether the relative strength of the euro, where it went from below 105 in January to 116 today, whether that is acting as a headwind to growth. The pound has also been pretty firm, but when we look at the euro, it is right at the upper side of its range, that it has got up to this 117 area on a number of occasions previously and failed. It has certainly held this advance better than it has on other occasions. A clear downward dynamic would really be required to question the consistency of what has been really quite an impressive advance over the last year. And we can see that it has been really quite consistent, and that reactions, particularly since May, have been in the order of about just over 2.5 cents. So even a pullback of 2.5 cents would really only represent a normal reaction within the context of what has been a really quite an impressive advance so far. It did take a little bit of a toll on some of the European stock markets in here today. But I think the more important point is that the European stock markets generally have been in a process of mean reversion. And while that has ended on Wall Street, it has not yet ended in most of Europe, that they peaked back here. And let me just pull the chart down. They peaked back here in April, and this so far has been a very orderly pullback, and they have not yet demonstrated categorically that they've found support beyond short-term steadying. But because it has been so orderly, because the market has pulled back much, much slower than it advanced originally, then we can also consider that this is a reasonably bullish outcome, that it has that the bulls, when they want to own it, they are going in size, but that that there has been relatively modest selling. And really, we would need a sustained move below the trend mean to really question that this isn't just a period of consolidation. That really the most important chart is when we look at these things really long term, that Europe has been underperforming for an awfully long time, and it did very well from December onwards, and it was due a consolidation, and it is getting one. And the FTSE 100 is a pretty similar story, that it has been really one of the firmest markets. It was down about 1% today. And the most important thing it has done has been break above this psychological 7,000 level. And it has held this progression of higher reaction lows since. And as long as it is continuing to do that, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. I think if we get continued soft economic figures, then what is that going what is that likely to do in terms of what the central banks are talking about doing in terms of their tightening? It's probably going to deter it. And oil prices were also a little bit firmer in here today. This has been a very choppy, rangy environment. the most important thing it did was post this higher reaction low. But then we had this big key, well, it's not a key, it's a big downward dynamic on Friday. So this is really only a little bit of steadying. The $50 level is now a big psychological level, and it really does need to sustain and move above it to really to confirm that we're back in the driver's seat, or that demand is back in the driver's seat. When we keep an eye on the gold price, it has been steadying around this $1,200 level, and it is up to $12.55. This is another choppy, rangy environment. And when we look at these things in terms of the sort of the big picture, and we think about our psychological perception stages, or indeed the filter questions we ask ourselves, and is it trending or ranging? And it's definitely ranging. And we have additional evidence now that $1,200 has held, so that is raising the possibility that we could get it up towards $1,300. But then it starts to run into the next area of resistance, and then if it breaks 1,300, it gets then it really is going to start asking questions about whether the $1,400 level will get taken out. But this is a difficult environment, and it is prone to these stabs on the downside. So even though it is looking more bullish in the short term, then the last two times it has got up to $1,300, it has pulled back very sharply, and it is going to have to demonstrate that it can be a more consistent advance, that it can rally without these gut-wrenching pullbacks, to really confirm, or to allow more investors to come in, so that particularly when they have become rather used to the low volatility measures that we have in both stocks and in equities, sorry, stocks and bonds. When we look at the VIX, for example, it is still at previously unimaginably low levels, and it was additionally weak in here today. But then, if we look at bond volatility, it's actually almost identical, that it has been collapsing over the last 3 months, and in fact it is at record new lows. So this also is a point that is perhaps something of a headwind for the commodities. They are considerably more volatile, and that also means that from an algorithmic trading system perspective, you can't have as large a position, because you can, that's a point that I've made many times previously, is that you can have a computer make any kind of buy or sell decision, but there is really a very small way that you, a number of ways that you can tell a computer how much of something to buy, and volatility is a very big part of that. So with the rather extreme volatility that we're getting in both intraday volatility, I should say, in both oil and gold, then that's not acting as a siren call. That's actually something that is contributing to how difficult the markets are to trade. Now, if we then look at the industrial metals, then copper prices continue to firm from the region of the trend mean. And we can also see here that volatility has come down, that this is a much more consistent pattern than we've seen with, for example, oil or gold. There is a clear demand-dominated environment that we had a very clear breakout. The range has been much less volatile, for example, than with gold, and now it is pushing back up towards the peak, and a sustained move above $2.80 would then reaffirm medium-term demand dominance. And that is a point also in favor of the view that we are still in an economic expansion, that the industrial metals were not particularly affected by the PMI figures that were coming out, or the IMF's downgrade of growth for either the US or the UK. Because I think investors are looking out towards the medium term. They're beginning to conclude that the pace of interest rate hikes or tapering is not set in stone, and that central banks are going to be very careful about the pace of the expansion, and they're going to want to do anything they can to preserve it because they have bought it so dearly in terms of their monetary policy. And the Nasdaq was in positive territory in here today. It is pushing back up towards this 6,000 level. Now, the Google's earnings came out just before I started recording, and they were down a bit. People are paying a little bit less per click. That is a potential headwind for, or I don't think a particularly large headwind for Google, but it is certainly something that is going to have an impact on them in the very short term. And this is also a week where we can expect earnings from Facebook. And Facebook has been one of the most consistent trends on the upside. And it broke emphatically higher over the last few weeks. And then there is the room now for some pause and consolidation. That if it holds true to form, then it will pull back and consolidate. But I think another important point is that markets have done so fantastically well already, and I think everybody has now got the picture. If you just take one look at what Facebook does, then we can see that over the last few years, all it has done is rally and pull back, and then every time it has pulled back, it has found support in the region of the moving average. So when people get around to looking at the chart and to understand what a normal pullback looks like, then they start to anticipate, and by anticipating, they don't pull back as much, and then they start rallying more, that people are rushing to buy. And this is the period in time where an acceleration is not at all beyond the bounds of possibility. Of course, this is also a more risky environment because we are further away from the moving average. So, for example, the potential is that some of these technology shares, if monetary policy is not raised aggressively, if the Fed is extremely slow in curtailing the size of their balance sheet, then the status quo persists, and people start to look around for how to improve their performance, and they take on leverage. So then there is the potential for acceleration. Of course, that also means that one has to change one's strategy. That if markets do accelerate higher, then we have to think about the markets in terms of trading stops rather than thinking about buying in the region of the moving average. Then one has to start thinking about the fact that if a market starts to accelerate higher, that is a trend-ending characteristic. And when a market has been rallying for the better part of a decade already, then we have to consider that when it peaks, it could be a medium-term peak. So I think we have to remain open to the possibility that these indices that have been doing so spectacularly well for so long, that we could have a considerable blowout. That there is the real possibility that these indices accelerate higher. And this advance has been among the most consistent within the trend since 2009. In fact, the only period that was even close to as consistent as this was between about 2013 and the end of 2014. So the last time this kind of move lasted for 18 months, and so far it's been going for about 7. So there is the possibility that these markets could be rallying for a considerable period. And as long as they remain consistent on the upside, as long as we get these relatively small ranges one above another, then there is no reason to question that this isn't still a powerful bull market. And it is being led by Wall Street. So as long as Wall Street is continuing on the upside, then that will likely lend a tailwind to just about everything else. Now, the yen is acting as a bit of a headwind for Japanese equities. It's down to 111, and if we look at that on the daily chart, then it has been a well, 114 has been a bit of a Rubicon for the dollar, and it is coming back down here towards the psychological 110 level where it has found support, at least in the region of 110, twice in the last couple of months. The Nikkei is back below 20,000. So the Japanese market has been going sideways while there has been some volatility in the yen. I think that though, if the yen does strengthen through 110 and sustains that move, then we will get a somewhat larger pullback on the Japanese market. And the extent to which you can hold the region of the trend mean, I think then would be very instructive, because this continues to look like a very inert consolidation in the region of that big psychological 20,000 level. As long as it is trading between 20,000 and the moving average, I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to the medium-term upside, because if this is simply a consolidation, then the potential for additional upside in Japan is, I think, really quite considerable, considering that it has already been ranging for 2 years, and that 2 year consolidation is in the region of a big psychological level. That if it can muster the wherewithal to sustain a move above 20,000, then there is ample upside potential. And China's markets have continued to be pretty steady. The Hang Seng is pulling away from the 25,000 level, and this has been a really quite an impressive period over just the last 2 or 3 months. But the more important point is that it has cleared the 25,000 level. That's the first time it's done that since 2015. The last time was during that period when stock markets in mainland China were surging following the introduction of options trading and leverage, and at this time it looks to be a little bit better supported. So then the potential is here that I think people have been really quite bearish about the prospects for China, but with such political transitions happening just in a few months' time, the last thing they're going to want is volatility, and I think that that is being reflected in the stock market, that they are buying a stock market rally to boost confidence ahead of the party congress in, well, it's going to be in September or October, and that does open up the potential for additional upside for excuse me, for Chinese equities over the next few months. And the Indian market has been pausing here around this, well, it hasn't quite paused. That's probably a better way of saying it. It is pushing back up towards this 10,000 level again today, and this is another big psychological level. I think the potential is that we're going to see a pause around this 10,000 level, but considering how consistent it has been on the upside, then the likelihood is that it's only going to be a pause. The potential for additional upside in India is considerable, considering that the Modi administration is reform oriented, and they're being blessed with low commodity prices at the current period, and for a massive commodity importer like India, that's a substantial tailwind. And Indian inflation is coming down, so then the RBI has the potential to lower interest rates. So I think there is really quite considerable potential for additional upside in India. But the more likely scenario in the short term is that we are going to get a little bit of consolidation. And I think with that, I will leave you for today. I wish all the best to all of you.